Thank the Lord for His goodness to us. Thankful that we serve a God who calls us to His feet and who desires to know us, to talk with us, for us to become one with Him. That is a real treasure that we have. That the God of all creation, who has created the universe, created all of the life that we see around us, the beauty, that He knows our name, that He cares about us, and that He has gone to great lengths that we could be reunited with Him, where He would be willing to come in and live in our hearts. How much better does it get than that? I'd like to deliver a message today on the subject of New Covenant Christians. Maybe we'll write that on the board. New Covenant Christians. This is likely maybe part one. I think it's a bigger subject than what we can talk about just in one service. But I'd like to, by the help of the Lord, think about this subject a little bit and how it applies to us individually. I'd like to start in the book of Joshua, the first chapter. Joshua 1 and 1, and we'll read the first six verses. It says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them." And this passage goes on and continues to encourage them to be strong and courageous. This passage was written a long time ago, and it was before Jesus brought to pass the new covenant, or the promise of salvation and peace through faith according to the grace that was offered to us as a result of the cross, the shed blood of Jesus, and the confirmation of raising the third day from the grave. But this passage still holds the promise to us today. And the message is today for us that God has much spiritual land for you to possess today. Even today, this old covenant promise that was given, it wasn't just a promise that was given to them back then, but it was a promise that would look forward to many, many years, hundreds, thousands of years forward. That was a promise to us today that God has much land for you, for me, to possess. as New Covenant Christians. And I'd like to start by considering just a little bit the Old Covenant period. Through Moses came the deliverance from Egypt. And Egypt was, as you know, a type and a shadow of sin and the bondage that sin brings. That was Egypt. They were in bondage in Egypt. And the Lord sent them somebody to deliver them from the bondage of the Egyptians and to deliver them that they may go free. And it was a type and a shadow looking forwards to the time that Jesus Christ would deliver us from sin. And then the Lord God gave Moses the law, and which was a schoolmaster to help us understand the reality of sin and our guilt and the reality of the existence of right and wrong. That's what the purpose of the law was when it came. It was a schoolmaster that was eventually intended to help us recognize our great need of the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ. Because without that, we would all be lost. And yet, before the law came, Paul made the comment that before the law, or when the law came, sin revived and I died. Well, why was that? It was because when the law came, that brought the knowledge of sin. Before the law, where there is no law, there's no knowledge of sin. But when the law came by God, and the Lord said, this is right and this is wrong, thou shalt do this, thou shalt not do that, it helped them begin to understand, when I don't do what the law says, I am now in wrong. And the law became, it was a very tedious law. There was a whole lot in the law. There was more than just the Ten Commandments. The law was very involved. It dealt with every part of life and was nigh to impossible to follow to the letter. And so incorporated into the law was that they would go and offer sacrifices that involved sin sacrifices, knowing that we're going to need to offer a sacrifice to atone for us not living according to the law. And so the law, over that period of time, was intended to help people understand that they are guilty before God. That there is this thing called sin, where you do those things that are not right. But the law did not bring with it the power to live to the law. It just brought the law. It didn't change the hearts of anybody. All it did was help us understand what the sin business was. But it didn't give us grace. It didn't give them power. The better they followed the law, it didn't help them follow it better next year because they grew in grace. It was just, there was the law. Other people were living according to the flesh. They would do what they could according to it for fear of the judgment of it. Judgment was executed speedily. And it was severe in some cases. The law, if you violated the law, could be a very scary thing. Well, once the Israelites were out of Egypt, and after the law had been given to Moses, through Moses, to the Israelites, and after Moses died, the Lord rose up another person to help continue His plan forward. And He rose up Joshua. And we read that here. He told him, he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now arise and go over this Jordan and all the people to this land that I want to give to you. And he gave them all of these promises. He said, I have much land for you to possess. And he said, every place that the sole of your foot treads, that will be yours. No one will be able to stand up against you. There's a great inheritance in store for the people. These were promises that God gave. And so the people enjoyed, because of these promises, the people enjoyed many physical and temporal blessings in life. They enjoyed a land that was flowing with milk and honey. The Israelites were able to conquer those things that stood in their way, people. They were able to go into walled cities. The walls of Jericho came down not by their might, but because of the hand of God. And many other stories in the Old Testament, you read that the Lord, on behalf of the Israelites, He did things that they could not have otherwise done. Gave them great victories. And as a result, the mind of the Israelites who lived under the Old Covenant, it was set on physical and material things. Property and prosperity. That was primarily how God manifested Himself to the Israelites. It was from the land that they conquered. It was the prosperity that they enjoyed. Almost everything was centered around temporal things that were given to them by the hand of God. Physical land that they could possess. Physical land that flowed with good things. People that stood in their way, the Lord was able to conquer those people on behalf of His people. And so that's how God manifested Himself to the Israelites. It was all part of His plan. And I also think that part of it was that He wanted me and He wanted you, as well as those that came before us, to read these things and understand this history regarding the Old Covenant, which was a type and shadow of the New Covenant that was to come, that we might better grasp what the New Covenant was all about. That was important for the Lord to help us understand that. The New Covenant was going to be a plan where burnt offerings and a life lived according to a rigid law and a law spirit, that these things were set aside, recognizing that now I can't find the peace and fulfillment and happiness in my life by just offering sacrifices. And I find through the Old Covenant that I have sin in my life that I can't do anything about. I can't live good enough to be accepted. And that was the intent of the law. The law fulfilled that purpose. And the New Covenant was come to make provision for our desperate need of the blood of Jesus. The Lord recognized our great need of His blood. Not our blood, not the blood of goats and animals and lambs. That was all pointing towards the time that Jesus Christ was going to come and offer His blood. And at the time, they offered these things as a sacrifice and atonement for the sins that they began to recognize were in their lives. And so the New Covenant was a fulfillment of the entire plan, where the Lord came to take it to the next step, recognizing that we needed something more than just a rigid law to try to live to. That wasn't going to bring us peace in our hearts. It wasn't going to reconcile us to the Lord. God wanted to bring us an experience where His Spirit, His Holy Spirit, could live in our hearts. That was always ultimately the Lord's plan. He wanted us to become reunited with Him. The Lord, we were talking about it in Sunday school this morning. At the end of it, God wants our lives and He wants our decisions to be about Him. He wants to be at the center of our lives. Why? To make life difficult for us? No. Because He wants special things for us in life. He has much land for us to possess. He wanted to get us to the place where He could write His laws, not on tables of stone, that other people would then judge us according to, and judgment would be executed speedily against us
But the Lord wanted to bring a plan where He could write His laws in our hearts. Where we could live according to the law, not because we had to, but because we wanted to. Because we began to recognize that there was something more than property and prosperity that would eventually pass away. But that we had a need in our lives and in our hearts to be reconciled to the Creator. And God wanted to do something for us so that when we go home at night and we lay our heads down on our pillow, we could feel peace in our hearts. Not because of our righteousness, but because of the righteousness of God. And because that through faith and by His grace, that we knew that we had been forgiven and accepted by Jesus Christ. And that He had a power and a strength for us to be able to live our lives in a way that would be pleasing to Him. The Lord wanted to not bring down strongholds that were made of stone and brick, but He wanted to bring down the strongholds in our lives that sin brings. And that's what the Old Covenant was pointing to. That when the Lord promised them that He would go before them, and that He'd give them land, and that He would overcome their enemies, God was way more interested in the future and at the present to be able to give us something where the strongholds that sin has in our lives could be brought low so that He can be reconciled to us. That was His ultimate plan. That's what He wanted for us. He wanted to become one with us. So that when Jesus came, we read the scriptures where Jesus said that He didn't come to destroy the law, but He came to fulfill the law. Jesus also said in John 1 and 17, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." That's ultimately what He wanted to bring to us, was grace and truth. And Paul said it this way in Ephesians, the 2nd chapter and the 8th verse, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not of yourselves, lest any man should boast." We weren't going to be able to live according to the law so well that the Lord would say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You lived according to all of these items of the law that were written down. Therefore, you have a seat at my table." God realized we have nothing to offer Him to be able to have a seat at His table except for the righteousness and shed blood of His Son. But He wanted us to realize that. He wants us to recognize we cannot earn heaven without His blood and without His righteousness. God wants us to realize that no matter how close we walk to Him, it's never going to be about, "I live a good enough life that I deserve and have earned heaven." But He wanted us to get to the place in the Old Covenant where we recognize that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that we needed something more than that. We needed grace. We needed forgiveness. We needed the shed blood of Jesus Christ that we could be saved and that we could be reunited to Him in peace. And so the law came and it fulfilled its place, where it was a schoolmaster to help us recognize that we had sin in our lives and we need help. And that applies to all of us that are here today. We all need Jesus Christ. And when the time was fulfilled, then Jesus Christ came to bring grace and truth that we could then be saved from the sin that we now recognize we had within us. Not of ourselves, lest any man should boast, but a gift according to the grace by Jesus Christ through our faith, that we would believe in Him, that we would believe into the gift that He brought, that it wasn't me following a list of commandments, but it was me believing into the gift that He brought. And not only that, but that we would believe into Jesus Christ and take himself his ways and make them our ways. God help us. Did you know that living according to grace and truth results in a whole different lifestyle than those that live a life of strict religion without grace but according to the law? Did you catch that? Those different lives are alive and well today. There are those that endeavor to live religious lives according to a law, but they are living without grace. And they are living more to try to become justified by living according to a law that somebody has established or that they believe has been established, that if they live and fulfill all of these things, that they'll be good enough. But absent grace, absent faith in Jesus' blood, that is a different life that starts to become lived than those that are saved through faith by grace and accepting Jesus Christ as the author and finisher of their faith, who we look to follow and to emulate and to learn from and to take Christ's way as our way. Well, the old covenant is not where his plan ended. Jesus Christ wanted us to take on who he was, and it results in a changed heart. It results in a changed way of thinking. Old covenant Christians don't think the same way. They don't lead the same types of lives as new covenant Christians. The Lord wanted us to experience a new way of living. One definition of repentance is a change of mind. It's not the same mind that it's always been, and it just won't be held against you anymore. In other words, you can say you're sorry because you're sorry that you got caught, but your mind is still where it always was. But forgiveness and repentance and receiving forgiveness had to deal with a whole lot more than just trying to stay out of trouble from the law. Jesus Christ wanted to write his laws in our hearts so that we recognized our need and we came to him and said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord, I want to live a different way of life. Lord, I want you to be pleased with how I live. Lord, I don't want sin to reign in my life any longer. But there's going to be trouble. There's going to be trouble in our spiritual lives. And we're going to have trouble getting our prayers through. If we live our lives primarily for the temporal and for the material, what do we spend most of our time asking the Lord for? Do we spend most of our time asking the Lord for help that we would become more like him? Lord, you see this envy that I have in my heart. Lord, would you be merciful to me and help my heart to be more like you? Lord, I feel like there's strife. There is strife between me and this other person. Lord, I don't want there to be strife. Lord, help me to have more love. Lord, I want to be more merciful. I want to be more kind. Lord, help me to be a peacemaker. Lord, help me to fill your place that you want me to fill in your body. Does this make our prayers up? Do we spend as much time asking God to help us to conquer and possess spiritual land as much as we do asking God to help make our lives more comfortable? There's nothing wrong with asking the Lord to help make our lives more comfortable. And I do it often. And He invites us to. The Lord invites us to bring our requests to Him. He invites us to pour out our heart to Him. And we have afflictions. We have temporal needs in life. And the Lord wants to be part of all of those. And yet at the same time, the Lord wants us to capture a vision of what His will for us was in life, that He had much land for us to possess spiritually, and that He wanted to be able to take down some of those strongholds that keep us from having peace in our hearts when we lay down at bed at night, and those things that bother us and cause our conscience to give us trouble, and maybe parts of our lives that we don't like about ourselves. And the Lord wants to do something about those things, and He wants us to look to Him to be able to take some of those mountains. You remember what Caleb said? Caleb was 80 or 85 years old, and he said, "Hey, that mountain over there, that was promised to me. I'm going to take that mountain. I am as strong today as I was when we came in to Canaan. And I can take that mountain." God wants us, brothers and sisters. He wants us to have a desire. He wants us to have an interest in taking those mountains, those strongholds that are in our lives that hinder us spiritually. Yes, He wants to help us temporally. But God wants us to understand that He wants to do some special things for us. He has special land that He wants us to possess. Paul said it this way in the third chapter of Colossians, "Set your affection on things above." Yes, we live in this life. Yes, there are things that temporally concern us. And God wants us to bring those things before Him. And we do live here, but where's our affection? Set your affection. When it's all said and done, who is at the center of it all? Where is our desire? Where is our sense of urgency? What is it that we are most wanting to accomplish in life? Get somewhere temporally and it's all going to pass away? Or are we most interested in finding the place that God wants us to find? Fulfilling the place in His body? Conquering those places in our lives that hinder us from being more like Him. Jesus brought power for those things. But we're not going to find the answer unless we set our affection on things above. And so the Scripture says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For the things that are seen are temporal, while the things that are not seen are eternal. And so I'm challenged by this today. Where's our affection? Is it primarily on temporal things? Or do we recognize that God came to bring us an experience that went way beyond property and prosperity? The Lord came to bring us a new covenant, a promise that we could be saved by grace through Jesus Christ. And that it had a whole lot more to do than us just not going to hell for our sins. But that it had everything to do with having a relationship with us and giving us power and strength to overcome those things that are overcoming us. The first book of the New Testament begins to immediately introduce the new covenant life in the Sermon on the Mount, where, yes, we keep the covenants of God externally, but we also find that God wants us to have them internally too. We become partakers of His nature and His purpose through the infilling of the Holy Spirit. The Lord helps us understand, you can be poor in spirit. You can be meek. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. These things come from within, and that's what the Lord wants for us. Otherwise, we are left with religion. We're left with religion only. I am not interested this morning in having nothing but religion. I am not interested today in having nothing but a form of godliness. And neither is God. God is not interested in us in the new covenant dispensation endeavoring to live like those that were under the old covenant. I think that there are those sometimes that are still trying to live under the old covenant. You hear messages out there in the world on the prosperity Christianity message. Live for the Lord and you get all of these things. And it tends to be a lot of temporal things. We hear messages about grace and forgiveness, but then an allowance to continue to live however you want to live. Or living after the flesh, but you don't have to worry about it anymore because Jesus died on the cross. And then our focus becomes on material and temporal things. And I'm challenged by this. Because we're human and we're in this world and we have a natural draw to those things that are physical and that are temporal. And I feel like that sometimes if we're not really careful, we can live our lives as Christians because we know we're supposed to be Christians. All of us here, that's why we're here today. And we have been raised in the truth. Many of us here have. We've been taught. We've grown up. This has become, sometimes it can become a lifestyle for us and a form if we're not really careful. And so we can try to live how we're supposed to live so that we make heaven, and at the same time, our heart is trying to go after all of those things that are going to pass away, and we end up not being happy in either one. Because we miss it sometimes. We miss it. We live for ourselves. We trust in the grace and forgiveness of Jesus Christ, which I do, and I need, and I'm desperate for it. But Jesus Christ came to write His laws in our hearts, where we have an interest and a fire inside of our hearts. Lord, I want to live for You. Lord, I want to be Your disciple. Lord, I want to give room in my life where You can take down those strongholds and those places that hinder my spiritual walk with You. And we make that our priority and focus in life. That's why the Scripture says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it's not of the Father, but it's of the world. And these things of the world, they're going to pass away. But my Father, He's not going to pass away. So what do we give ourselves to? Are we in the world? Is our flesh part of it? Yes, that's okay. Are there things that are pleasing to the eyes that it's okay? Sure there is, but don't set your affection on those things. And then sometimes people can feel like that all their prayers, they're offered up to God asking for all of these things, which, please hear me, it's okay to ask the Lord for temporal blessings. But if that's predominantly what we're seeking for in life, absent asking the Lord to help us take those mountains that are spiritually problems for us, we're going to have a hard time getting answers to our temporal prayers. If that's where our heart is, God wants to have a place in our heart where we yearn for Him and for who He is. He wants us to experience more land, more spiritual land. He doesn't want us to be content to remain where we are spiritually today, yet we're striving for more of those things that are ultimately just going to pass away. But the Lord wants a people who have captured a vision. Lord, thank You for forgiving me of my sins. Thank You, Lord, that sin no longer has to reign in my life. And that You have given me hope now that I can have a place at Your table. Lord, I want to be Your disciple above all else. Yes, I live in this world. Yes, there's requests I'm going to bring before You. Yes, I have temporal needs in my body and in this life. But Lord, help me to be a Christian that You are pleased with, to live inside of me, that we can commune and have a relationship with each other. That is New Covenant Christianity. God wants to have a relationship with you in your hearts, and He wants to bring power to you. He wants to help you so that sin no longer reigns in your life. He wants to do something more for you than just give you temporal cities and overcome those that come against you. But He wants to do something special for you. He wants to give you a peace that goes beyond all understanding. He wants to live in your heart and in your life. It's where abundant life can be found. It's where peace can be found. It's where victory is. And it's where I want to find a closer relationship with God. I'm challenged with this in my own life. I want the Lord to be pleased with me. I want us as a congregation to pursue things above. To have a desire to fill the place that Christ wants us to fill in His body, because He has a place for every single one of us. Let's seek to find out what it is, and let's pursue it. May God help us each one to have an understanding of these things so that we can apply them to our lives, that we might be better servants of Jesus Christ. Pray for me. I want to be true. Amen.